I mean, there was a very famous soprano whose name I won't mention, but she said, you know, my next step is I'm going to try to sing without taking beta blockers.
Okay.
I think the fact is that way more people than are talked about are using it. Absolutely.
My name is Michael Pavelec.
I'm Alan Gilbert.
And this is About Music.
And Life.
Today we have another episode of our podcast talking about
what it means to be an orchestra musician,
which is not that simple always.
We are talking about the training it requires, the challenges, the joys, all aspects of this fascinating subject that is so dear to my heart.
So join us in our new episode. Alan, again, thank you for welcoming me and the team. Never let a film team in your house. Do you regret it already?
Not even slightly. It inspires me. I actually would love to have a setup like this. I was joking about it when we talked earlier, but to have a setup like this just kind of ready to go so I could do my own video podcasts and chats. It's cool. It's such an important way to communicate these days. And so it's nice to be able to talk to you and also think that maybe there might be people who are interested in what we have to say. I have no idea why, but...
We thought about
throw it out there, see if it lands anywhere.
I think it will definitely. And we came up actually with the part of history we both share in a way. We wanted to become musicians in an orchestra, but we didn't in the end.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting what it means to be an orchestra musician and what you have to know, what you have to learn, what you have to be good at, what you have to experience. And I mean, I know a little bit about it, but just can you tell us a little bit about your violin background? And was there ever a moment that you thought it might become a profession for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was aiming for orchestra, to become a musician in an orchestra. And I studied and I made my degree in the orchestra. I played in orchestras, opera orchestras, and symphony orchestras while I was studying. And... then I was looking for an orchestra, and I thought it had to be a really good one. This I found out, that orchestra, playing an orchestra, can be boring, terrifying, boring, and exhausting. So I thought, Michael, you need a good conductor, an inspiring conductor. You need an inspiring orchestra, otherwise you won't survive it. And then I did auditions for orchestras, I thought, would be good to survive in, to put it that way. And I got the invitations, but I didn't make it because those were...
Invitations to audition?
To auditions. But I remember the moment I had the... I was practicing for the Orchestre de Paris, and there was this inner voice, Alan, it asked me, do you want this? Mm-hmm. After all these years, do you really want this? And I had to take a break.
Did you do the audition after all?
No.
So I
sat down and I thought, why does this come up now after years of practicing, after childhood practicing? Why does this come up now? But in the end, I think I made the right choice. I didn't end up in an orchestra.
Was it the thought of what the life of an orchestra musician would be that stopped you, or was it having to go through the awful, grueling process of auditioning that you didn't want to deal with?
I think it's
because that's very real.
Maybe three reasons.
I mean, nobody likes auditioning.
Yeah,
for some people, it's so distasteful and painful that it's not even worth it.
No.
In a way, they don't even get to the point of thinking about what the job would be, but just knowing that they'd have to go through an audition. Mm. And I have to say, from my side, I haven't done so many auditions, but listening to auditions is entirely stressful also for us. Mm-hmm. It's not a pleasure.
I think, one part was, of course, the audition, but no, actually it was like... I couldn't imagine anymore to sit in an orchestra, and that should be my life, even if I get the job. And the other reason was I missed the language.
You mean like German?
Like writing, like talking about something, thinking about something and going to discussion, describing something.
You think missed that. People in orchestras don't think and... don't.
My life that time was practicing, and I was I was practicing, and usually you don't talk a lot, you don't read a lot, you don't. It was. Maybe a bit narrow.
Okay. I totally get it.
But I'm at the right place now because I turned out to be a journalist, and that's perfect.
Very for me. Successful.
Yeah, it's.
But you still play.
I still play. Yeah.
And it's a pleasure now to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, we should all be amateurs in that sense, because amateur, after all, means someone who loves it.
Do you think there's a special type of musicians who enjoy playing in an orchestra for 10, 20, 30 years?
I think absolutely. I mean, how can we do this? I mean, it's very easy to get stuck on the dark side, the bad side. It's difficult to be an orchestra musician.
What is the dark side, Woodward?
Well, you're told what to play, when, how. You're fitting into a group. There's not a lot of individual acknowledgement of what you're doing. You're noticed more or less when you make mistakes, not necessarily when you're doing everything exactly right. I think somebody's home. I can hear Zeus responding.
The dog. The dog is called Zeus.
Yeah, that's. But you know, that's the charm of having a home video studio.
And he didn't bark until now.
No, he's usually very quiet.
Is he hungry?
No. He just hears Kaisa here. And there's Kaisa. Hey, we're on camera now.
We're filming.
Do you want to come and join us?
Here. No, Zeus can go say hi to his favorite. It's a very challenging life to be an orchestra musician. You know, in a way, it's kind of seductive. It's to talk about the difficult side. I happen to think that there are a lot of musicians and orchestras who truly love what they do and feel very lucky to do what they do. I mean, after all, they're playing music for a living and dealing with some of the great, great works of art.
Yeah.
And it's a generous pursuit. You're offering something that is really appreciated by people. I think so often I hear people complaining about the life of an orchestra musician. And I have to say that as a conductor who I think, hey Zeus, who he likes music, who I think I really love orchestras. And I love playing in orchestra. I've played a lot in orchestra myself. I was an extra violinist with the Philadelphia Orchestra for a couple of years. I've played in other orchestras. My parents are both orchestra musicians. They really loved it. They took it seriously. They were not resentful. They always prepared. They practiced. And I think they always felt, either consciously or just implicitly, you get what you put into it.
Yeah. For me, it was maybe, I wonder what you think about it, this moment when you blend in with the rest.
There can be a real joy in being part of a team effort that where things are really working well.
Yeah.
And what I describe idealistically, because it doesn't happen all the time, for sure, is a situation in which I'm guiding the music, but everybody else is able, I as the conductor am guiding the music, but everyone else is able to use their full capacity and insight and point of view as musicians, their energy to give to the flow as if they are also deciding how it goes, that there's a kind of shared vision that everybody is taking part in producing. So it's not a paradigm in which there's one person telling the orchestra, you do it this way, and they're like, okay. But everyone is making the music together. And I actually do think that's possible. It's an ideal. It's possible,
but it can be totally different too.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't always happen. It often doesn't happen. Yeah. There can be times where it's just a slog and it's not a pleasure. And we can acknowledge that. But, you know, a lot of jobs have their bad moments too. Yeah. It's not just orchestra musicians, let's face it. The difficulty is that it takes so much work to get to the point that you're good enough to play, yeah, especially in the best orchestras.
Yeah.
And so much preparation. And each week you have to prepare. The interesting thing, though, is that I think the better the orchestra, the more seriously people take the job.
Yeah.
And the more they treat it as if something that is going to be a positive experience. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lesson when I was a sub in the Philadelphia Orchestra, as I told you. And I remember the first time I was playing Dvorak New World Symphony. And the way the Philadelphia Orchestra works is all the substitute violinists are at the back of the second violin section.
Okay. Not the first?
Never in the first. So okay. if the people, the regular members in the seconds might sometimes move up mm-hmm. into the firsts.
Mm-hmm. The subs
were always first. In the back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I don't think that's my favorite system. I think it's good to spread the subs mm-hmm. out, mm-hmm. Put them inside the section where around people who are, you know, in
yeah.
Regular members. But that's not how they did it. So I was in the back of the seconds, and New World Symphony, piece that the orchestra has played dozens mm-hmm. of times, if not hundreds of times. Second violin, you know, there's some hard passages. It's not that hard. It's not, you know, it's not like playing a Strauss opera or something like that. But I went to the library because I wanted to prepare to get a part. There were no parts. They had all been taken out.
Wow.
People were practicing.
Though they knew it,
yeah. It's the Philadelphia Orchestra.
From the inside out.
And, you know, I've conducted, you know, my career has been a little bit unusual. I started out conducting really good orchestras, so I haven't been to so many orchestras that are not really in the top
yeah.
rank. But I remember that with lesser orchestras, people prepare less.
Mm-hmm.
They take it less seriously. That's kind of weird if you think about it. You'd think like a lesser orchestra would want to work
maybe it's not the big name they're playing for, or
I don't know what it is. Anyway, there's something in the culture of the best orchestras that creates a situation that I think is gratifying. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they're orchestras and they're orchestras, that's the point. But the idea that what orchestra musicians do is somehow easier or requires less technical skill
you have to
than a really soloist, that's complete nonsense.
You have to have a complete technique. So
yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And in certain things, more, because the ability to play softly and neatly and quietly and absolutely together. You know, if you're a soloist, you can kind of you write your own ticket, you play, and people have to follow you.
Yeah. Though most of the musicians are trained as soloists.
Well, trained as instrumentalists, and that means...
But with soloist repertoires...
Yeah, because that's the way you learn the instrument. Yeah. But these days, I think schools are you know, happily admitting that a lot of people will go into orchestras mm-hmm. and not treating it like the booby prize.
Third choice.
It's like, if you don't make it as a soloist, then you can at least be in, you know, maybe play chamber music, or then if you have to really play orchestra. I mean, that's absurd. Yeah. And that used to be a little bit, I think, the way schools operated, but not anymore. And I think it's a noble profession. And I really think that, I mean, I have the highest regard for orchestra musicians. Yeah. And not just because I'm a conductor, because I know it. I've done it myself, and I've been around orchestra
And it's musicians. Really a hard job doing the physical, in a physical way, too. I was just talking to someone a few days ago about physicians helping orchestras. Like, you have them in soccer teams and basketball teams. You always have a whole... other team looking for the best conditions, physical conditions. How does it work in the orchestras?
I think, some orchestras have people kind of on staff, or at least made available to do body work, or mm-hmm. you know, napropat, because the physical ailments that can come from repetitive use of muscles and strain and stress. It's real. I know that myself. I mean, I'm a violinist also, and I played a big chamber music concert last week, and I practiced really hard for the last months, 2 or 3 hours a day. And then when we were rehearsing, I was playing 4 or 5 hours a day. And I'm just not used to it. And I have serious tendonitis in my bow arm now, and it's actually quite painful. And so I've been getting regular.
But you know this, that you do that.
I've been doing all sorts of stretches and it's real, you know, the physical pain and challenges. But you know, at the Opera House here in Stockholm, there are two people on staff who are full time just to take care of the company. They also work with the ballet dancers, and they obviously have physical things, but they're available for everybody. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's very enlightened.
And there's the psychological aspect, anxiety. I read actually from a former trumpet player from Elbphilharmonie Orchestra. He went public saying that many musicians he knows take, how's it called, beta blockers.
Yeah, absolutely. They're very helpful for people who have anxiety, performance and anxiety, and
so you're not against
way more people than are talked about are using it. Absolutely. I mean, there's a very famous soprano whose name I won't mention, but she even said in an interview, so I mean, I could say her name because it was public, she said it herself, but she said, you know, my next step is I'm going to try to sing without taking beta blockers.
Okay.
I guess, you know, I don't know.
Does this work, beta blocker? I think it's the heart.
They keep the blood pressure down, and also they just somehow also the psychological knowledge that your heart rate is not going to go up and your bow won't shake is very useful.
Can you take too much that you have a group of zombies then?
I just don't know. I mean,
it sounds like a dangerous path. It's
could be. I don't know, but I think the fact is that way more people than ever would talk about it use them, and it's
do you talk about this with in the orchestra or openly?
No. Frankly, it's nobody's business. If someone wants to do that, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the way they produce, and you know, if that's what it takes for them to do their best, then I'm all for it.
Wow. I don't need to take beta blockers for my job. I'm.
You know, it's different. You know, if you find the right calling, I mean, it's like, you know, I was saying about nerves when we were talking earlier. I don't get nervous when I go. I mean, yes. A kind of excitement, you know, hoping it goes well. I want to do my best.
I love this red light when it goes on.
Yeah, it's exciting. But for me, as a conductor, I found a profession that actually seems to work for me. That doesn't knock me out. I feel lucky that that's the case. I wish that for everybody. It's to find something that's challenging, but somehow that feels as if you found the right thing to do. And I think for a lot of musicians, it is a joy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try as a conductor to make sure that's the case for the orchestras that I conduct. It can be hard because sometimes you are just, you know, you have to be a good employee and show up to work and just deal with the boredom. And you're subject to a lot of forces that you can't control. Mm. If the conductor is not getting good results from the orchestra, that's frustrating. There's nothing worse than feeling that you just, by definition, can't do your best.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is no fun. That shouldn't happen very often. That's up to, you know, the people who do the planning and to try to maximize the chance that all the conditions are set up so that orchestra musicians can actually, that it's worth it for them to use their full energy because they can then produce something that is worthy of them.
Anxiety. I have to ask, do you think it would be better to have an open discussion about that, maybe to involve doctors to give advice in
you're talking about like performance anxiety or
In the end, to get better results and to have more satisfied musicians, or...
Well, it's interesting because, you know, my wife just did a health check and they have questions about your profession. Mm-hmm. You know, do you ever lie awake at night thinking about your job? Do you feel stress from your job? You know, is there ever something that you do in your job that gives you physical pain? Mm-hmm. And it's like, the answer is yes, 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 yes to all of them for I think any musician. But I wouldn't change a thing because it's so great to be a musician. So it is a kind of lifestyle that, you know, comes with its difficulties. And I think the stress and the pressure of being put on the spot in the moment that you're performing, where you have to deliver, it can be terrifying, but it's also thrilling. It's fun. And that's, I think musicians, you know, they know what they're getting into when they do that. And, you know, the excitement of like, okay, it's like walking on a tightrope. You have to do it.
But maybe it's some changes might...
Do you think would you think it'd be better never to have any stress?
No, not never to have any stress, but first to have an open discussion about or the possibility to speak out about using beta blockers or whatever.
Then beta maybe, blockers, that's not the main point, though.
Some advice, some.
Yeah, but there are people who do talks and work with musicians about how to be in the best frame of mind.
Yeah.
Sort of like performance coaches.
Yeah.
And just the way athletes.
Maybe you. Have yeah. That. Maybe that.
Because it is athletic.
What absolutely. We do.
And there are psychologists who work with tennis players. Yeah. And
so you could hire a psychologist.
Yeah, but there are such people that do that. So
the Inner Game of Tennis, I remember this book.
Absolutely.
We talked about teamwork, blending, and there is competition too. Or I think I remember between players.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Why would they compete with each other? No, of course. I mean, they're...
But it's a bit paradox because...
It's difficult because, you know, of course, there could be, you know, first chair, you know, flute player, and, you know, third chair might think that he should be sitting in first chair. I mean, that could... Yeah, of course, that can happen.
And this thought is working for 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah.
I should be there.
Yeah, I mean, and... If there's somebody that you have to play with all the time and it somehow doesn't work, so you don't feel music the same way, and if you have to play a shared melody, somehow it just doesn't work, and if year after year, and oh, here we go again, same piece, that can be hugely demoralizing.
And you know those persons like your husband or wife.
Yeah, it can be hugely demoralizing, and that's, there are problems. There can be problems, but...
How do you solve that, or how do you,
some things you can't solve, and you know.
But do people ask you for advice, or are you involved then in finding solutions?
You have to. I mean, somehow you have to make it work. I mean, short of changing the people, which is, you know, sort of the last resort, and it would have to be very serious before you do that. You know, people have to learn to get along, and I don't think it's unique to orchestras. I don't think it's unique to the music business, you know, and there's certain people that, you know, you just can't dance with them for whatever reason. But you have to find a way to make it work somehow.
Yeah.
And it means compromise. And if there's someone who can't compromise, who's not a good colleague, if it becomes really clear that they're not a good colleague, then you have to take action.
Yeah.
But it's pretty rare that gets to that point.
Did you find yourself in the
position? I mean, and it happens that there are people who just somehow are not able to be positive contributors to the group, and you have to make a change. Either make sure that certain constellations don't happen on the stage. Okay, these people don't work together, so make sure that they don't play at the same time. Or for this kind of piece, we need to put this group of people together. Thankfully, it's pretty rare, though.
Yeah.
You know, most people are able to somehow make it work.
Yeah,
you know, they're professionals. That's part of what it means.
Changes. What when the quality changes? Someone getting older. Someone getting ill, whatever, what do you do? Because again, it's the group, but you have to have this high level of performance. And
well, that's a very difficult question to answer and even to talk about, because people's physical capacity does diminish with age, but certain things improve with age.
Okay.
So you just have to decide. So
improved experience.
Experience, and also just there are people who you want to have in the orchestra because they create a good atmosphere, mm-hmm. and they represent something that is, you know, worth imitating and aspiring to.
Yeah.
So sometimes players may not be at the peak of their technical capacity,
yeah.
but they're a net positive,
yeah.
for the orchestra.
Yeah.
And often orchestra musicians, it happens that they stay and they overstay their usefulness, and it's hard, yeah. to be a good judge of yourself.
Yeah.
Some of the orchestra musicians that I admire ask a colleague or ask their husband or wife, yeah. or partner to be very honest with them. You know, if it ever comes to the time where you think that I should step back, please tell me. Mm-hmm. People have different ideas of
so maybe of they their go own. Back in the position, or
it happens. And yeah. there are some people who voluntarily step down or say, okay, it's time. And there are others who are not as able to do that. It's difficult to say what you should do. But I do remember there was a wonderful principal horn player of the St. Louis Symphony, and he announced his retirement abruptly one time, and people were like in shock because he was still sounding so great. And he said, well, I've always said better to stop 5 years too early than 5 minutes too late. Which was very elegant, yeah. and yeah. unusually self-aware.
Yeah.
Most people are not able to do that. But there are, of course, times when people really should stop, and it's very difficult, and it can, yeah. become an awkward situation if you're the music director and you have to talk to somebody who has probably been a very valued contributor for many, many years, and it's awkward, and that's just one of the things.
So in the end, it's a hard decision. So
it's very hard. And because also I think being a musician, and I think it's part of what really speaks to what is so wonderful about being an orchestra musician is people are reluctant to let it go, mm. because it's so gratifying. And it also becomes very wrapped up with your identity and who you are as a person. It's that profound. It's that, mm-hmm. spiritual. So anyway, there's a good side to that, I think.
Yeah. Would you recommend young musicians to become an musician in an orchestra?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think it can be a very joyous profession, and it doesn't preclude doing other things as well. You know, there's no orchestra position that is, you know, 100% of your time. It's always possible to play chamber music and do other things and go hiking and do whatever. At the end of the day, it's all the same. All pursuits of music are, mm-hmm. are related. Orchestras that I work with have all heard me say this because I say it repeatedly. You know, they're conductors who say, okay, guys, it's like chamber music here. Let's do it like chamber music. And what they mean is that you should listen to each other and react to each other and actually play it as if you're creating one, mm-hmm. thing together. That's how it should be all the time.
Yeah.
You know, in that sense, everything is chamber music in the best sense. And at its greatest, orchestra playing is absolutely the same. And you know, you might say it's self-serving because I'm a conductor, but I actually happen to think that it's one of the great ways to be a musician. And I don't think it's not going away anytime soon.
Thank you. I think we found out a lot,
Well, it's a fascinating subject, and it's what I spend my time dealing with, and so I'm happy to talk about it, and I'm sure, yeah. we can meet again and talk about other aspects.
Chamber music. We have to talk about chamber music next
time. Anytime.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. So
this
with
is
you.
Not the time, Zeus. Zeus, you have to go there.
Does it happen when you practice too? That
no.
he comes around?
No. When we're practicing, he's absolutely out. He like completely goes to sleep.